What if we spoke honestly, took a moment to view this thing from an employee's perspective and talked about what could be? Analyzed what is to come from the love of the restaurant. Well, you'd have this podcast. Welcome to Behind the Restaurant. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to 2021 in the year of the podcast. If you were paying attention and you caught the first release, you would know that this lovely podcast Behind the Restaurant falls under the Enigma umbrella. That is our home, the Enigma Umbrella Network. We have a couple podcasts under that network, but this one right here is Behind the Restaurant. As explained in the intro, this is a look from the perspective of love. Like, this is for the people who have been in it long enough that they appreciate and love every part of this, and they're hoping that these restaurants, these concepts, these things that we have been involved with for decades make it out the other side of this situation that we're currently in and become something even better than they were when we started. So, where we're going to head today is, how does fine dining transition? Now, for everybody who maybe caught the podcast beforehand when it was Behind Restaurant Life, you'll know that my experience doesn't fall as much into fine dining, but I do have enough contacts and enough people that I know in that world that I've seen the impact of the pandemic on them. So we have to take into consideration what that means first. What does fine dining mean? Fine dining is the concept in which you go into the restaurant, you set up a time to be there, you're doing reservations or you're walking, you're coming up to the concept, you're sitting down, you're placing your order with a server, they're taking it to the kitchen, and it's being made fresh to order at all times. The difference between fine dining in the way that I'm describing versus maybe you thinking of a chain restaurant is the pricing. When you think of fine dining establishments, you're thinking about a high gauge price level. You're thinking about $100 meals. It's places that are set up to look in a very pleasing and high-level manner. It's not just your normal everyday place where everybody has the same type of uniform and you know, it's a quick, but not too quick. Like, I'll go into detail on which direction quick-service restaurants go in or fast-casual restaurants, because they're going to have to develop something different than what fine dining has to do. Now, fine dining has an executive chef who's in the kitchen with a sous chef, a full complement of kitchen personnel. They have multiple servers, busboys, people who come out to drop off the food who aren't the servers. You have a full, you know, you'll have a wine menu, a beer menu, an alcohol menu. You'll have a bartender who works there, you know, four or five times a week. And the ambiance of what you're expecting from fine dining is a more personal touch, A, from the server, because they're there to get your order, which is what all of them are there, but this is more of a high class, highbrow level of service. So your expectation going into fine dining is already higher than it is if you're going to a place like Ruby Tuesdays or Arby's or anything like that. That's A. B, you're expecting a meal that has a form of, I don't know how to put it, but you're not expecting the norm. When you go to a fine dining establishment, the meals, the presentation, the style, everything about it is almost like an artistic thing. it isn't just as simple as putting a dish together that you know and that you want. It isn't rice and beans and chicken. Or it could be, but there's a twist and a development to the chicken that would make it different. The rice is put together in a different manner, or it's not the usual rice you would expect. And even the beans are presented in a style that's not the traditional mindset and thought. So fine dining is a mindset. It's an ambiance. It's an art form. If you have great fine dining restaurants, you have a full show. You, from the moment you walk in, no, before that, from the moment you set up a time to be there, A, you're setting up usually 2 or 3 months in advance, because you're not going to get a week before or 2 weeks before. You're going to get 3 months down the line. That's one. So that already sets up a whole another level of expectation. Two, you're expecting a level of presentation of the people who are to serve you and a level of anticipation of what you want to be served that's higher than what you would expect in other places. B, you should go into it expecting to pay a much higher level than what you would for any other type of place, because this is a higher, highbrow, higher level, much more elegant, much more developed style. And then finally, the meal itself and its presentation, it's the plating, the smell, the manner in which it's done. Like, if you go to some fine dining establishments, you will not be able to pick a la carte. You will have to choose one of the prefix menus, because they already have a plan to how your palate will be attacked by what they're putting together. So that's fine dining in a nutshell. Now, the reason I bring that up and I go into the detail about explaining what it is because now we have to think about it. What will it be on the other side of this pandemic, and what is it currently? Because it's not possible currently, especially if you're in New York City. If you're in New York City, it's unlikely that there is a fine dining establishment, truly upscale, that is allowing true service. So what are they doing? Well, what we're noticing, or what I'm noticing, is the in-home presentation of concepts. So there's a lot of ideas out there for how these chefs who have conceptually great artistic ideas want to now present their plates to customers that want their plates. So these chefs now have transitioned from solely being an establishment type of chef to being an in-house type of chef. But instead of a long-term in the kitchen, you hire them for long periods of time and they're cooking breakfast, lunch, dinner, and all of that. No, you're hiring them to cook a specific meal, just as if you were going to the restaurant. You're hiring them to come into your home, cook a specific meal, put it all together, present it to you, and leave it there for you, and then leave. And this is now the transition to fine dining. This is now what fine dining has become. But like we spoke about, this is a higher level of cost that we're talking about. So the reason to introduce this now is because, like, what happens to the servers in these establishments? What happens to, you know, the dishwashers, or the, you know, all the cogs that made the restaurant go forward? How do you now keep them, and how do you now lose them? Because there's many, these transitions for fine dining is good for a sous chef, an executive chef, and some of the kitchen staff. But how much do you actually keep servers and everybody else? That becomes of how long is it going to take to get to the other side for these fine dining establishments, and how many employees are actually going to come back and aren't already thinking of heading in a different direction. So because of that, what do fine dining restaurants have to think about when thinking of the other side of this pandemic? Because I think that's probably one of the more important ideas and one of the more important conversations to have. It's fine if you're doing as much as you can right now in the middle of a pandemic, especially kitchen staff and executive chefs and stuff, so and so. But how do you bring back your restaurant on the other side when people have become accustomed to something you're now presenting so that you can make some money? Your fine dining or their fine dining experience has changed from going to a restaurant to being in their house and having the restaurant come to them. If you transition in this way, if you move in this way, how do you move it back? Because the problem is, in the restaurant industry, it takes a while for sometimes concepts to move along to the next thing. It can take a couple years. But once they move along to the next thing, it's very rare that you'll come back in the same force to the way it was before. And I think that can be presented in many fields. But in restaurants, I think it holds a higher regard. There's a bigger notion of this is how it is now. Once we've already moved on to the what is now section. So, how do you take this fine dining concept and transition to in-house service, transition back, but you have to gauge how your transition back is going to come? How many people are going to honestly think about not coming back to either work or customer-wise eat? Because as much as fine dining restaurants make their money from people of a certain price level coming in to, you know, eat their food and try their concepts and see what their ideas and their minds are, you have to also think that a lot of these establishments make their money on just the random person that wants to go out that one time or becomes a repeat customer because they came out that one time. There's a lot that it's said that in most restaurants, what you want from night to night is 50% old, returning, and 50% new. And the reason for that is you want to always keep it fresh. So there has to be a new crop of people coming in to try the food. So because of that, you only want to keep 50% of what's already come back to try to eat the food. So, on the other side of this pandemic, how do you do that? Because this is the question that all restaurant concepts have to find an answer for. Once we start seeing the other side, you have to find this answer and hold on to it. Because this one is going to be very, very important. It's, how do I start moving back to where I was? How do I bring back these chefs who are maybe making money from the fact that they aren't tied down to a restaurant anymore? How do I bring back the customer base? How do I, you know, bring back my employees, especially those that have now been out of the industry for more than a year? Because it's going to be a year for a lot of people coming this March. And you have to think, are all these people just going to come back as if nothing happened? Can you expect that? Should you expect that? So, while this is a question for fine dining in a lot of regards because of what they present and how hard they've been hit, it is something that all restaurants have to answer. But just to stick to a fine dining concept, what do you do now? How's your marketing? Because it's not like you were marketing to the highest regard before. Yours, a lot of what fine dining restaurants do is by word of mouth. A lot of it's, oh, I heard of this place, it was great. Oh, I heard of that place, it was great. So are you going to start going, oh, did you hear that this place is open? Is that going to start becoming your word of mouth? Are you going to move towards social media and presenting your concept in a lot higher in social media? Like, how do they move themselves to get themselves back to where they were before? And it's going to take innovative thought. You can't stick to the old way of doing things. You can't just be beholden to how things were before and think, oh, hey, that's perfect. No, you have to now transition into the new way that things are done. Now, do fine dining restaurants transition into deliveries and stuff like that? No, I don't think that that's a path for them to take, honestly. It's not one that holds their concepts real well. And I don't think if you start doing that, unless you yourselves are the ones doing the deliveries per se, like you have a staff in-house who's making the deliveries and can keep what you are presenting together for everybody to see. It's not that. I think fine dining restaurants have to transition to being smaller. I think the larger areas where there used to be 100 people in or 50 to 100 people has to kind of go away. It has to become more intimate. It has to become smaller. And it has to become more niche. Because that's kind of going to be where you head. You're going to be a once in a blue moon type thing. Unless you have the money to be able to do that continuously. And now the people who have the money have been introduced to chefs coming to their home cooking. And not having to have them on payroll. And that's a new way of thinking. Like, you have to understand this. You're not going to bring back everybody who transitioned to that. You're going to bring back some. But you've lost. You've officially lost now 20% of what you had before. So, if you've officially lost that, what's your move? So, it's going to be a lot of little things. This pandemic has rushed a lot of stuff, and it's pushed a lot of people in certain ways that they weren't expecting. And I think for fine dining, it's pushed along an idea and a presentation of themselves that they didn't have before, and they probably weren't thinking of before. And it's going to be something that you're going to have to watch. It's going to take a year after everything starts opening up for you to truly see where it's heading. I think a lot of other states in the United States are interesting in what they've done because a lot of them have stayed open and haven't closed. So, you know, there hasn't been a lot of shutdown. But New York, not to seem elitist, but New York does lead the way when it comes to a lot of concepts and ideas of concepts and presentations of what's new, what's next. So the idea of that and how they move on from this could change a lot of others in the long term. But that's something to keep an eye on long term. In the short term, it's going to be on how they present themselves to come back. And I think it has to be smaller, has to be more intimate, has to be, you know, real niche, real, oh, here we are, here's us, has to also find a way to hit that crowd that left and bring them back in little by little. Oh, you're eating at home, why not come out? Why, you know, there's going to be a lot of little things. The word of mouth has to be a little bit more forced because the only way you're going to get people is if they actually hear you, and if nobody's coming in or if people who are coming in aren't really talking about it, you're not going to get as much as you would want. And it's going to be a long and patient process. Fine dining is not going to come back like that. It's going to take time. And that's the hardest thing for any restaurant. Time. We don't like time. We don't like to wait. We don't like having to be patient. Because if you're patient, you lose money. That's just the thought process. You got to make that money back. But in all honesty, coming on the other side of a pandemic, patience is going to be the biggest key to any transition that's made. Just the way it works. I appreciate everybody for listening. That was my fine dining thoughts. And I hope to see you on the next one. Peace.